Today was Chov Dalet Teves, which is the yard side of the Baal HaTanya. Could I just to mention just one or two points that Rav Levi Yitzchak Baditchev was very, very close to the Baal HaTanya. Not merely the fact that they were both Talmidim of the Maggid, the Rebbe Ruber of Mezritch, but also down the line they became Uchutonim, that their grandchildren married each other, grandchild of the Baal HaTanya, the grandchild of Levi Yitzchak Baditchev. And the Levi Yitzchak Baditchev writes in a place, he writes, Meid ani olai shemayim v'yoretz, he says, that heaven and earth, he says, can testify, she'ilu hoya harav ha-goyin al-lekai Rav Shneur Zalman miladi b'mei harif ha-rambam hoya ke'echod mehem. Had been the time of the Rif and the Rambam, he would have been like one of them. There was a Yid known as Agoyin Achosid, his name was Rabbi Yosef Halevi, who was a dying in a place called Cherin, and he wrote a sefer called Darkei Chaim, which is on the Shulchan Aruch, printed in Tofresh Mendalad. So he writes there, Kasha Shomati Mipi Magidei Emes, he says, I heard from Emes de Geyidin, Shiro Ksivas Yad Kodesh, Shalarava Goin Lekai Mebadichev, the Sotik Sav Yad of Rabbi Yisrael Badichev, who said this, as we just mentioned. And Rabbi Yisrael Badichev added further and said that being that the Baal HaTanya, he said, belongs to Doris before, to previous generations, going to the time of Rishonim, he writes, Lezois Kosher Lehovin Devorov Imloi Be'iun Rav. Therefore, it's difficult to understand the kavon of his words unless one really is ma'ayin and really goes into depth. Kim oid omku machshevoisa v'darko in his Torah. And he says, V'lishoinoi hazov humamish kalosh deriva Rambam. Interesting to point out that generations later, after Rabbi Yitzchak Baditchev, none other than the Divrei Chaim himself of Sanz, the Sanz Aruf, he writes in the Tshuvas Divrei Chaim Chelek Yerodeya, at the end of Siman Gimel, he writes, mentions that the Tanya regarding an Inyan, and he writes, Godel Shebachroinim, Divrei Chaim, writes Godel Shebachroinim, and in Varshad was an Odom Godel. I once heard from Rav Bekarsky, Zechoyim Levrocha, that the Bitzikel Feigenbaum was a known Godel, but the way I heard it expressed by Rav Bekarsky, he said that this man was, he says, he believed was, considered him to be the greatest. The Bitzikel Feigenbaum was a Polish Goyen in Varsha. There's a Sefer Or Pnei Yitzchok, and he writes there in the Sefer Or Pnei Yitzchok, he writes concerning the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was Machria Lahaloche regarding the Hashailas of Ben Hashmoshes, which are differences of opinion. Was Machria like the Fi, the Shita of the Baal HaTanya in his Siddur, because he said that he is the Godel Shebachroinim. There's many, many references that Gedoyle Yisrael consider him to be Migdoylo Achroinim, not Migdoylo, but they said Godel Achroinim. Going later also, one of the great poskim of previous generation was the Meir Arik, just a Gavurcher, Rabbi Yankiv Teitelbaum, who you might have known in Kew Gardens, was also a Talmud of the Meir Arik. And the other, he was considered to be one of the greatest poskim. Also writes that way. And interesting is that the Rogichover in the Tshuva Sofnes Paneach, in Chelek Aleph Siman Ches, writes Hagoyin Hoamiti, which, if you know the Rogichover, this is a very, very unusual type of a title. He does not write like that. But on the Tanya, he writes the Loshin, writes Hagoyin Hoamiti. Interesting is that the Yoy of Yisrael, the Yaptaruf, also a Talmud of the Maggid. So he writes and says that Aviseinu Agdoishim means the Yovis, which is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yankov. Their Derech Avodas Hashem was in the way it's written in the Tanya. That it was all of the teachings and all of the halachas and all of the hadrachas and Avodas Hashem that we learn from the Tanya. He says that the Yovis Agdoishim, this was their Hanhoge. And interesting is that the Chakal Yitzchak of Spinke, that he writes, he says that he heard from his father, Imer Yosef of Spinke, the first Spinke Rebbe, that he said that he himself, he says, was Oved Hashem Yisburach many, many times through learning the Sefer Likutei Amorim, which is the Sefer of the Tanya, the Shokad Ma'oid B'Limudoi, and was very, very, dedicated and committed in learning the Sefer HaTanya, and so on and so forth. Interesting, in the Sefer Igra Seferim, you know, we have all the different letters, you know, from the Chassam Sefer and Talmidov, and going back to the Mala B'Kodesh from the Chassam Sofer, in other words, the B'Kiv Eger as well. So it's brought down there in Igra Soferim that it's brought down that the B'Kiv Eger son-in-law writes that his Shver B'Kiv Eger also was Isaac in Sefer Atanya, which is a very interesting thing in the Sefer and Sefer Igra Soferim. Just to mention that the Bnei Yisoschar, in spite of the fact that he was the Talmud of the Rebbe of Lublin, of the Chozim of Lublin, and he was also Talmud of Remendel Rimenever. Bnei Yisoschar, and if you know anything, a little bit about the Drachim, the different Drachim of Avodas Hashem, there was different Mahalach than the Tanya. The Rebbe of Lublin had a different Mahalach, Rebbe Remendel Rimenever. Nevertheless, he mentions the Tanya many, many times, and he writes, the Bnei Yisoschar writes, he wrote Hagoyis, in addition to the Bnei Yisoschar, with many others for him as well, himself, the Brachas Magid Talum, and so on, that we mentioned a number of times in the Chumash Yurin. But there's a sefer called Sur Meirav Asei Toiv, from Herschel as the Dichover, was considered to be the Sar Beis HaZoyar, the greatest Mumchan Zoyar. It's a play on words, Sar Beis HaZoyar, the Sar Beis HaZoyar, meaning the greatest Mumcha Nuan Zoyar, the Teres Tzvi. So, the sefer Sur Meirav Asei Toiv, there's Hoysophis. There's Hoysophis Mahar Tzor of Tzvi Elimelech from the Bnei Yisoschar. So he writes there, Im tirtzel rav simoincho, if you want to quench your thirst, ayin no b'sefer hatanya nikro b'shem likute emorim hanitfes mechodosh, he says, megoyin zmaneinu. So it makes references to the time it was something new. That time, so he says, go look into that sefer. Just gavurche, he's also kiveyal alocha, the Bnei Yisoschar is kiveyal alocha, like the psak of the Balatanya Nigeres Hatshuva, which is known in Perek Gimel. But the Tanya was Mechadish that even though the Gemara says Hamavazviz al Yavazviz Yoser Mechaymish, we know there's a Vada Gris Inyan to give Meiser. More than that, there's Inyan to Chaymish, the Gevaldige Madrege, but Chazal say not more. Hamavazviz is a person, flush of squandering. Hamavazviz al Yavazviz Yoser Mechaymish, not more than a fifth, twice a Meiser. So the Tanya goes on to say, he says, that's Davke, if a person's giving Tzedokis, Stam L'Shem Mitzvah. Giving tzedakah is tam l'shem mitzvah. Every mitzvah has a gevul. Tzedakah also has a gevul. Hamavazel yivazel yosef mechaymish. But if a person is giving tzedakah because this is his process of tshuva, like we say tshuva tefilu tzedakah, mavir nesroya agzera, so he needs this gula of tzedakah for refuas hanefesh. He says giving tzedakah for refuas hanefesh, there's no gevul, because he says when it comes to refuas haguf, you're going to pay even $1 million to save your life. He says. There's no too price too high, too much. It's not kedai to save my life. I've added this. It save your neshama is also kedai. Vada kedai. As a mitzvah. But the Tanya says in Geres Tshuva, but if you're giving tzedakah in order to redeem yourself, says then there's no limitation. And the Bnei Yisoschar brings it down also, and he says he agrees with it, because again there's something tzachidish which has to be accepted. But the Bnei Yisoschar Maisa writes, I agree with that. Look at this particular chiddush. I just want to mention that the Belzer Rebbe, the Hantiki Belzer Rebbe, that mentioned that when his grandfather, the Psuchadov from Belz, put on tefillin for the first time to his son, which was the father of the Hantiki Belzer Rebbe. The Hantiki Belzer Rebbe's father was the Bulgarai Aruf, was the son of Rebbe Psuchadov. Bulgarai Aruf was the brother of the Friedrich Belzer Rebbe, Rebbe Arla Belzer. Rebbe Belzer didn't leave any children. He died, son of Moshe died in the Holocaust. So Melos Rebbe, the Hantiki Belzer Rebbe became, which was a nephew. So his father was the Bilgarai Aruf, was the son of Rebbe Psuchadov of Belz, one of the greatest rebbes. So he said that when Rebbe Psuchadov put on tefillin, he says to his son, the Bilgarai Aruf, he said to him, he said, it happened that once when they came to arrest the Balatanya, which we know there's a number of incidents, a number of mices, of course, they came to arrest the Balatanya. At that time, they found him that he was Me'utif B'talus Tefillin. He's wearing Talus Tefillin. He says when the Shoitrim came, when the officers came, they wanted to detoifus him, and they saw his face wearing tefillin. So Poshet, the pachat fell upon them, and Poshet, they just ran away. So Tanya explained, he says, the Poshet is after the Poshet says, V'rohu kolamei oretz, kishem Hashem nikro lecho, so Gemara says, V'yoru memeko, so Chazal darshim, what does it mean, what are they going to see? So Chazal say, that tefillin shibaroish. Right? They'll see the tefillin shibaroish, that that's going to instill a fear and a pachat on your enemies. So the people surrounding the time say, we also wear tefillin. Says nobody runs away from us. He says, you notice that the Gemara doesn't say tefillin she'al haroish. It says tefillin she'baroish. The tefillin doesn't have to be in the kop, nicht auf dem kop. The kedusha of tefillin has to be in the head. Tefillin she'baroish, not on top of the head. You wear tefillin on top of your head, he says. The Chazal say tefillin she'baroish. And this is what Psochadoiv said to his son when he put on tefillin for the first time. He says, listen, likes tefillin. Tefillin doesn't have to be in the kop, inside your head. It's not on top of your head. He's going to mention that in Lublin, Shivas Chacham Lublin, by Meir Shapiro, then Odom Godel Moed, Rav Ozner used to speak about him very much. Rav Ozner was also a Talmud of Lublin. Did by the name Rav Shimon Zelichover was his name. Talmidim of Lublin, no. He was a Boki Benigla Benister. So he used to say that the Koyin Samagid had a Seder that to learn every day, to learn a Perik in Tanya when he was wearing, while he was wearing tefillin, Rabbeinu Tam tefillin. That's what he mentioned. The Koyin Samagid used to learn a Perik in Tanya every day wearing tefillin. And he says that once he says the Stalin Rebbe was there, and it was him like a Chiddush, he's wearing Rabbeinu Tam's film when he's learning Tanya. The Kodesh Magid said, he says, I say to you that this Mechaber can say Torah before Mashiach. He says, such Choshev Torah it is. So, a Kaponim said, this is the Yortzeit now, so it's very, very timely that we have this year, as a matter of fact, Taka tonight, which is right after Chov Dalet now. So, what we're going to do is we're going to begin again in the middle of Perek Gimel. Sort of like the fourth line top from the top of the page. Okay. We said Vehein Heim Ava Aim Hamoilido is Ahavas Hashem Viroso Yupardoi. The Tanya is being Mamshech regarding to explain Chochmah and Bino. And the Tanya says, Vehein Heim, which means that Chochmah and Bino, that these are the fathers and the mother. These are the two faculties, says the Tanya, Hamulidois Ahavas Hashem Viroso Yipardo, which give birth to Ahavas Hashem and also to Yiras Hashem. In other words, how does the Yid come to Ahavas Hashem and to Yiras Hashem? Says the Tanya is by utilizing the faculties of Chochmah and Bino, as he goes on to explain. So what we'd like to do is to really to continue to conclude the parak. We've been on this, I think, the fourth week already. And then we'll add what we have to add. So we'll just continue straight to the end of the parak. And then we'll go back again and go over the specific lines. So again, so the Tanya tells us that in fact what we have is Chochmah Bino. That this in fact is the Bechina of the Av and the Aim. Right? Which gives birth to the union of Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. How so? How does Chochmah Bino give birth? How does it create? How does it generate Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem? So he says, Ki ha-seichel she-benefesh ha-maskeles, because when a person uses his intellect, that man has seichel, more or less, yeah? So melech, if a person uses that seichel, kishemizboinen umamik me'oid, agaburchi, you see three lishoines, kishemizboinen umamik me'oid, which means when a person deeply, right, he deeply contemplates, and umamik me'oid means also that he, basically, he immerses himself, right? He immerses himself in what? Begedulas Hashem, right? In the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is he contemplating in Gedulas Hashem? Says the Tanya, again, he says three things, which we elaborated already last week. Echu memale kol almin, how he fills all worlds. Which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically is filled, there's no area. There's leisa sar ponu menoi, there's no area at all in any aspect of the world that the Eir Hashem isn't there. The person contemplates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, basically he fills the entire world. And also v'seiviv kol almin. And you further contemplate that the Rabbi Yisrael also encompasses all worlds. Because we pointed out, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Eir Ein Sof, Bemis, it's not Shaykh, that the Eir Ein Sof should be able to exist and be able to within this small Tzimtzim Digi world. Bechlal, no matter how sizable or how large a world would be, the Eir Ein Sof is much, much, much greater. B'ligvul b'litachas, which cannot, in its entirety certainly fill. And we would not be able to be mekabel all those Eiris. So we have what's called a small nitzus, it's screened out. The Eir Ein Sof is screened out. Then we have a small portion of the Eir Ein Sof that fills the world, but more so, more than being able to fill this world, but then you have it with v'soiviv kol almin, that basically it's misaviv, it encompasses all worlds. Now that's in terms of an Eir Hamakiv, in a chitzonius way, right, that is much, much greater area and space to be able to do that. And furthermore, v'kulei kamei kolei choshiv. And you also contemplate another aspect of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's godless, and that is that a Kodesh Baruch Hu's, that in his presence, no matter what there is considered as nil, as nothing. There's nothing that basically has a cheshivas or means anything, right, in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So a person contemplates, and he's mizbeinen, in all of these areas in godless Hashem, so what's the upshot? What's the consequence of this is beinenness? What's the of this contemplation? A person, right, who immerses himself deeply in this thought, so this brings out, and is ma'ir within this person a tremendous yira roimimus, that's awe. Gevaldig yira roimimus of the awe, right, becomes aroused in his moyach, in his mind, and in his thought. Of a godless aboyer, this brings them to godless Hashem. Thinking about greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this brings yira. Thinking about Geburis Hashem and godless Hashem brings the person to yira. Yira ule his boishish migduloso yizbarach she'en lo soif etachlis. It brings them to a matzev to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His boishish means is also a lashon of busha, but also is a lashon of humbleness. We see that busha and anova have a tremendous direct shaykhis to yira. As the pasuk says, it says Laman, it says, in order that you should yiras panechin lebilti sechtov, so Chazal says zuha busha. The Gemara says that this is referring to busha. That's the definition of yira. Yira means when you have busha. So the more a person stands in awe before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more he has busha. He feels a sense of busha standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a sense of humbleness. And as we spoke out already last week, the different machloikas, the opinions of the two drachim of Hashem, the vikuach, that there was a debate between the Rebbe Zish and the Rebbe Meilich, which they asked ultimately the Magid in order to be Machriya. What is the proper derech? What comes first? Is a person first misboinen and shiflis atzmoy, and then that will lead to understand godless abayre, or maybe the opposite? First, a person should be misboinen and godless abayre, and that farkeh, that will bring him to shiflis atzmoy. What Rabbi Zisha said, I had one opinion, didn't say which one, he said my brother had the other opinion, and went to the Magid, and the Magid said, Demis is elu velu divir lekim chayim. However, he says, the midah of first shiflis atzmoy, and then, being misboinen in Gadol Sabayra, he says, that is better. But them says, both are okay. I mentioned then that it appears that the Tanya took the other opinion. Because the Tanya talks about Geduloso Yisborach, to be misboinen in Geduloso Yisborach, and that will bring Yira, and that will bring Busha, which is humbleness, and another, and so on and so forth. Upachad Hashem Beliboy. And this will also bring a dread in his heart. Right? This will bring a dread in his heart. So the Tanya talks about, first of all, that when you're being misboinen, Begdulis Hashem, this will bring you to Yira. Realize we're not up to Ahava yet. The first thing that a person will generate in a person's mind is the emotion of Aha, of the Yira, which is awe in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by the way, Yira is the expression of Gevura. When we talk about Ahava and Yira, Ahava is the mid of Chesed, right? Ahava is the mid of Chesed, and Yira is the mid of Gevura. What's going to happen first in a person, as he ascends the ladder, in order to be able to acquire the shleimus of these midos, being Mizbayin, as the Tanya says, being Mizbayin and being Mamik himself and immersing himself, like in this idea and this contemplation, this will first bring him to Yira, which that is really the mid of Gevura. And then says the Tanya, Vishuv Yislahev Liboy Ba'ahava Azo Kirash Pesh. Next, he says, this contemplation will give birth, which that is, by the way, the mid of Chesed, which that's Ahava. That will lead him now to the mid of Chesed. In a fiery emotion of Ahava. Ahava Aza Kirash Pe'esh, which means that his heart will actually glow like fiery flames. Right? And the Tanya uses a number of adjectives here, which also something we touched upon and we'll touch upon again even deeper. The Tanya says the Ahava will be such an intense Ahava that a person is capable, has the ability to reach. In terms of Ahava Hashem, says the Tanya the following Lashonis, Bechashika, there'll be a passion. Bechafitza, a desire. Uchuka, and a longing, and the nefesh or keiko, and a yearning soul. This is not stam duplicated lashonis, but there's reasons for each and every one of these lashonis that the Tanya describes in the tremendous, tremendous connection and a drive that a person has to the tremendous, tremendous ahavas Hashem that he feels toward the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Legedulas ein soif Baruch Hu. So each of these expressions, right, that he mentions, which is chashika, chafitza, chuka, the nefesh or keiko, all of these are different madregas of Ahava towards the greatness of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Says the Tanya, do you know how far that leads? You know how far a person's capable reaching Ahavas Hashem? Says the Tanya, the He Kalois HaNefesh. This is what is meant by the term Kalois HaNefesh, which means it's a consuming passion. A person can have such a tremendous passion and Ahava to Kodesh Baruch Hu, where his neshama becomes so, he cleaves so strongly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's a danger that the neshama will actually leave the guf, push it in order to be connected to the Or Ein Sof. And that is a danger, by the way, which the Tanya soon will point out, and we'll elaborate a little bit on that. as we find a number of psukim, Tanya again quotes three psukim, to show the idea of how tremendously connected and dovuk a person comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to the point where it's dangerous, where the neshama actually has no reason. Adrabba, it feels driven out of the body, poshet, in its desire, intense desire, to cleave towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we find the Lishonis of the Melech says, Kolos HaNefesh, which means poshet to the Kolos HaNefesh, where the Nefesh really just wants to leave the guf. As the Pasuk says, Nichsefo v'gam kol sanafshi. So the Melech expressed himself how his neshama longs. My neshama longs for you, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uksivin and the Pasuk says, Soma nafshi lelekim. My neshama, right? My nefesh thirsts for you, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Uksivin, then we have the other Lashon. Lashon says, Soma lecho nafshi. Again, we have this Lashon. That my neshama thirsts for you. Which means, what the Tanya is saying, that the ahava that a person can generate within himself towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu can become so intense that the neshama risks being consumed in that fiery ahava that he said. The ahava which is like Rash Peyesh, totally leaving the body. And emes is, as is pointed out in all the Sfarim HaKadoshim, that this ahava is so intense that if a person would not forestall this danger, if a person would not do something in order to prevent, not to allow himself the dveikus, you have to stop it in the middle of the dveikus, not allowing himself to continue, but you have to be on top of it, as we'll mention soon. So Melech becomes actually so dangerous that he has to contain this tremendous, tremendous ahava, because otherwise the person would expire, literally. But the idea is, the avodah of the person is, again, to strike this balance. On the one hand, to achieve the greatest level of ahava Hashem that he's capable to withhold, to withstand, so he restrains himself to a point that his neshama poshetly remains melubish in the body, right? And that's the way that he's capable of fulfilling ahava Hashem, because obviously he's going to die, then he defeated the whole purpose. Continues the Tanya further. So the Tanya of Atzimoyen, he says, this loving thirst that a person has, it comes from the Yisoid Ho'esh, it comes from the Yisoid Ho'esh of Benefesh Olikis, which means, as we know, that there are four elements, Esh, Ofer, Mayim, and Ruach. So this element of Ahava, of Tzimoyen, the person has a tremendous desire that comes from the element of Esh. The element of Esh that is really encompassed in the neshama, as we find that the people who are boki in the natural sciences, so they affirm that the chenu beitz chaim, and so it's mentioned in the sefer Eitz Chaim, she yisoid ho esh who believe. The element of fire is in the heart. So a person, we talk about v'haftas Hashem l'kecha b'chol avavcha, right? B'chol avavcha, in the heart. What emotion is really seated in the heart, that's Eish. So the Yisoid of Eish, the more fire that a person has, so the Yisoid of Eish, he uses the Chamimus, he uses the Koich of Eish, he uses the element of Eish, he uses the energy of Eish to channel it, to have this burning desire, Eish, to have this burning desire in a Ahava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mitzkar HaSheini, U'mekor HaMayim, V'Haleichus is Mahamoyach. But the source of the element of Mayim and moisture, that's in the brain. So the source of Eish, the element of Eish, right, that's in the Leif. And where's the source of Mayim, which is another element of one of the Yisoides? That's in the Moyach, that's in the brain. As he points out, Kumashikoso Beitz Chaim Sharnun, as is mentioned in Eitz Chaim, Shehi Bechinas Chochmo, which means, it says that the element of water, right, is really the level of Chochmo, Shenikra. Chochmo is called, in the Eitz Chaim, Chochmah is defined as Mayim Shebenefesh Olekis. Chochmah is called the water, right, which is in the divine neshama. Chochmah, the faculty of Chochmah, is referred to as Mayim, as water. What's the pshat? Which means that when you talk about the element of Chochmah, it's called the water of the divine neshama, and it's explained by the Mefarshim the same way that water descends, right, from the highest of places. That's where water comes down. So to Chochmah, which is the highest of the Esser spheres, as we already discussed, when we have the Chochmah bin on Das, and then comes the Zayin Midas. So the highest level of the Esser spheres is Chochmah. Chochmah is the highest. Mayim also descends from the highest of places. So Chochmah, right, is considered to be, is called the Mayim Shebenefesh Olekis. And what the Tanya therefore is trying to say, as is understood in the Mesoiras, Tanya has been learned for years and years, because there's many aspects, many lines of the Tanya, many, many different interpretations. But the way it's accepted, that what the Tanya means to say here, by talking about the Yisoid of Eish, and also talking about the Mekor of Mayim, Chochmah being referred to as Mayim. Mayim, as he points out, which is Mayim Shebenefesh Elokis. These two elements of the Pshat is like this. Because we pointed out that Lev, when you're talking about Lev, that he pointed out is where you have the emotion of Esh. The emotion of Esh you have in the Lev. Tarasheni says, to contrast that, the brain is considered to be a mokim of cold intellect. That's the opposite of Esh. The brain is, intellect is something that's cold. Intellect is not swayed by emotion. Intellect doesn't go by hergish. Intellect is seichel. It's mathematics. This is the way it is. Doesn't make a difference. Emotion is something which a person feels, regardless of whether the seichel says one way or the other way. Esh is something which is seated, something which is belayed. Now, that's something which is hot. That's an emotion. A person has a fiery feeling for something. But intellect is called the cold intellect. So mayim, that's the source of the element of mayim. Mayim is something that's cold. Mayim is something like mayim, ki mayim korim al nefesh ayefo, as the Pesuk says. So what the Tanya really wants to say, we can see, by the way, you can see if you find two different types of people, and you notice the difference of the demeanor between an emotional person and an intellectual person. The one who ends up, say, hits the mensch, and the other person is a calm person. He's guided by his intellect. So Eish, which that's an emotion which is belayed. That's the fiery emotion. That's belayed in the heart. And then you have the Seichel, which is the Bechin of Mayim. So what the Tanya is trying to say as follows. Regarding these two ideas, because the Tanya points out, again, that we have these two Yesoides in the Nefesh. He starts out, Tzimoyen you have Yesoid, or Eish in the Nefesh, right? The Neshama is affected by the attribute of Eish, by the Yesoid of Eish. Also, the Tanya said, Mayim Shebenefesh Elokis. What the Tanya is trying to say is follows, that when we have the tremendous emotion of Esh, if a person has a tzimoyin, has a tremendous drive for a Havas Hashem, where the Tanya said that this might lead to a danger of Tzomolocho Nafshi, it could lead to a danger, at Kalois HaNefesh, risking a situation where the Ahava becomes so intense, where the Neshama risks being consumed, right? And actually leaves the goof. So the emotion of Esh has to be tempered by the koyach of mayim. The koyach of mayim, which is the cold, right? Which is cold intellect, is something which should control that the emotion of Esh should not get out of control. It's like a gauge. To be able to gauge how much Esh should I allow myself up to a certain point. But where it gets risky, where it becomes dangerous, kolos hanefesh, then I have to cool it and it has to be tempered. So this is the Tanya is telling us that the realization when a person uses the seichel, realizing where this can lead to a dangerous situation when it becomes too fiery, when the ahava becomes too intense, so mele, this prevents the neshama from actually expiring in kolos hanefesh. So these are the two things, therefore, what the Tanya talks about. He talks about Eish, and he talks about also the inyan of mayim. And mayim is chokhmah, right, which is the cool intellect, which is mayim, and that is necessary to control the emotion of Eish. So you need the seichel to control the emotion of Esh, and therefore the Ahavas Hashem will go to its maximum, up to the Gevul, up to the point where it's not yet dangerous. That's why you have to have these both ideas. So the Tanya tells us basically that Chochmah Bino means, again he said, the contemplation that a person contemplates in Gedulas Abayre. That's what he uses his Chochmah Bino. He uses his Chochmah Bino to immerse himself, as he says, to be Mizbeinen and to be Mamik Meoid, right, into Gedulas Hashem. So what is it going to lead to? This is going to give birth. Chochmah, Bino, right? These are going to give birth, he says, to the attributes of the Midah of Ahav and Yira. Now, Ahav and Yira, as we said, this represents Chesed and Gevurah. You still have another five Midahs left. There's still five more. Because after Chesed and Gevurah, right, then you have Tzeres, Netzach, Chod, Yisoid, Malchus. So you have the other five Midahs. What about the other? What about the other five? We said Chochmah, Bino, are moilah, they produce ahava and yira, right? Produce ahava and yira. So he points out the shar hamidas, he says, as far as the shar hamidas, kulam hen, he says, anofei hayira v'ahava v'tol desayim. There's all of the other things, he says, these are offshoots. In other words, the other five midas are just offshoots, he says, and derivatives, he says, of yira and ahava. He says, Kemoshikosuv b'mokamachar, as I explained elsewhere. So what we're saying is that Chochmah Bino, basically, these are the father and mother who primarily give birth to Ava and Yira. From Ava and Yira already come the other five are considered to be like the Anafim. These are the Anafim, or the branches that branch out. So if a person is Koina Ava and Yira, The other five midas will come already more naturally, because these are the yesodis. When you have Ava Nira, which is Chesed and Gvura, the other midas already merely are the anafim of Yira and Ahava. Just to point out another nekuda, that when you talk about Chochma Bina, being the parents, right, giving birth to, first of all, Ava Nira, right, so we suggested then that Chochma Bina being the parents, that Chochma really represents the Av, and Bina represents the aim, because a set of parents is a father and a mother. And being that, as the Tanya said, that Chochma Bina, they are Moilid, these are the parents who are Moilid, the emotions of Av and Yira, because Chochma, if you remember, the Tanya already explained that Chochma is really the intuitive flash. That's the dot. That's the first dot when it's not yet developed. The person has an idea. That's what's called Chochma. The person has an idea. He wants to build a house. But he has not worked out the details. Just simply, you have the dot. You have the flash. You have this intuitive idea. Bina is something already takes that, right, and begins to develop it, right, l'orkoi l'rochboi, until basically comes down into its finest detail. That's the idea of Bina. Bina, it takes what the Chochma is, the potential. And Bina actually takes that potential and builds it into something actual. So, if Chochma really is the intuitive flash, is really the first dot, that's Ke'en like the Tipa that comes from the Moyach of the Av. Chochma is the Moyach. The Tipa that comes from the Av is also something which only has potential, not developed. The Tipa itself is merely the dot. All you have is the Tipa, but certainly nothing is developed yet. What happens is later when the aim, right, when the tip is connected with the aim, so then in the goof of the aim, everything becomes developed. That's when all of the evarim of the Vlad becomes totally and fully developed. So the aim is the Bechina Bina, because Bina is what develops the initial intuitive flash of Chochma. So Chochma is the Bechina of the Av, that's like the Tipa, and Bina, that's the Bechina of the aim, which develops the idea to its fullest reality. So together, Chochma and Bina, these two are Moilid. Possibly, as we said, Chochma is the Bechina of the Av, and Bina becomes the Bechina of the Aim. Continues the Tanya further. So this is Chochma Bina. Now what about Das? Right, the first three are Chochma Bina and Das, which is the third of the faculties, of the intellectual faculties, Chochma Bina. Now the Tanya said, if you remember, the Tanya said in the beginning of the Perek, that the three, Chochma Bina and Das, are all called Imois, they're called the mothers. So them is Das is also called a mother, is also a parent. And the Tanya so far describe Chochma and Bina, producing Ava and Yira, contemplation in Gedulis Abayra. That's using your Chochma Bina, and being Mamik, and being Mizbainin in Gadlis Abayra, that will bring about the emotions of Ava and Yira. So where's Das come in now? Right? Which is the third of the intellectual faculties, which is also called a mother, because these three were called Imois. And so Tanya goes on to say, I want you to know, he says, Vahadas humeloshen vahodom yoda eschava. Das is not simply translated as knowledge, but as we say in the biblical sense, as everybody knows, Veloshen is vahodom yoda eschava, vahuloshen is kashrus vahischabrus. It implies attachment. It means union, coming together. Vahodom yoda eschava ishtoi. Says the Tanya. You know what it means in relation to our subject? Das means Shemekasher datoy bekasher amitz v'chozik noid. He said it means that it binds a person's mind very firm, a very strong bond. The yiska machshavtoy b'chozik. He has to firmly fix his thoughts. He says begedulas ein soif baruchu ve'eino maseach datoy. In other words, Chochma Bina, we said to contemplate in Gadlus Hashem. So a person will have a fleeting thought about Gadlus Hashem. It's not going to lead him to anywhere. As a matter of fact, the Tanya says the Madrega of a Yid is, and that's the goal to strive for. He becomes so dobuk in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's not Maseach Das. That's Kipshuto Shvisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit. Which means you have Chochma and Bina, but Chochma and Bina Das, you have to connect it to be absorbed by the mind. It should not be something which is a fleeting thought. But a person should always be connected with these thoughts. Das is the Koich HaMikasher. Das is the Koich of his Chabru, says the Tanya. The Tanya says to a point it should be so strong, as he says, the yiska machshavtei b'chayzik, the gedulas ein soy baruchu, the ein amasiach datoi, there is not masiach das at all. Because, ki af mi shehu chocham, he says, because even if a person, let's say, is wise, means that he utilizes the mid of chochma, he's wise. And v'novoin b'gedulas ein soy baruchu, and he has understanding, which means so he utilizes bina. Again, he's a chacham, he utilizes the mid of chachma. and he's a Novoi. So he utilizes the Midah of Bina. Hine, in spite of that, im lo yekasher datoi, the yiska machshavtoi b'choizik u'ba'atzmode, unless he really fixes his thoughts firmly, he has to plant it diligently, right? Understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, if he does not have it firmly planted in his mind continuously, loy yoilid benafsho yira va'ahava emitis, then will not be successful, he says, in producing true ahava and yiras Hashem, he says. He says, ki im dimyoin eshov, it'll only be imitations, he says. It only will be a fantasy. He says, to have emeziga ahava, to really, genuinely, reach a madrega of emeziga ahava and yiras Hashem, it has to be the chokhmo bino, has to be connected with das. Das means always connected. Not to be masiach das. In that way, whatever you conceive through chokhmah and das, right, and chokhmah and bina will be absorbed by the mind, which is das. It will be absorbed. Das is which connects it. It means it should always be connected to the person. Okay, and therefore, so ultimately, hadas ukiyim hamidus v'chiyusam is the das that really provides, he says, it's the substance of the kiyum, right? The everlasting, the kiyum, the chayuson, and the vitality, he says, of the midos. So Mela, so das really runs side by side with chokhmah and bina. All of the contemplation, which is chokhmah and bina, has to be mechuber to the person, has to always be on his mind. That's the idea of das. And therefore, he says, v'hu koilul chesed ikvura, he repeats again, as we said, chokhmah and bina, basically, it produces primarily, as we said, chesed and gevura, which is ahava and yira, ahava v'anofeo, it's ava and the offshoots, which means they are the other midos, and v'yira v'anofeo, and also yira and its offshoots, which refers to the other five midos. So this is basically what we have here concerning the way the Tanya tells us how a person reaches ahava and yiras Hashem, is by being mizboinin, by using the faculties of chokhmah bina, by being mizboinin in gedulas Hashem. If you're being mizboinin in gedulas Hashem, this will lead you to ahava and to yira. So I want to mention, Rabbi, number one, that bemes, you take a look, you don't have it here on the sheet, but the Rambam says it in Furish. The Rambam says, in Perek Beis of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, I'm reading it to you. It says, Rambam, Perek Beis of Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, Vehechi Haderech LaHavosoi V'Yerosoi. And as the Mefarsha Rambam, our Medayik, the Rambam says, Vehechi Haderech, which is the way, which means there's no other way. Because Rambam says, which is the way? Which means I'm telling you the way. If I'm telling you the way, this is the only way. You can't, there's no detour. The Hechi Aderech, what is the Derech, says the Rambam. And Rambam, this is Torah, this is Pesach Halacha. To reach Ahava and Yira, says the Rambam, Bishor sheyizboinein ho'odom b'masov u'bruov hanifloim ha'gedoilim. When a person is boinein in all the tremendous, tremendous achievements in Brias Olam, creation, the world, people, Nivroim, everything that's in it, the Yiramen chokhmosoi, and then he sees chokhmas Hashem, sees all the chokhmah, and the disciplines that he sees in creation, she'ein lo erech v'leikeitz, miyad hu oyev, he says, u'mishabeach, u'mefayr, u'mitzavet, tavi gedoyle, leida Hashem ha'godol. And Rambam says, u'kimishchashe b'dvar melu, and when he thinks about this thing, miyad hu nirsal ha'choyev, v'yifachat, tremendous yira. It reaches him tremendous madrega of yira. We see that in Rambam also, that the etzem that Rambam talks about the attributes of Ahava and Yira is by being mizboinen in godless Hashem. So I want to mention, you know the Lashon of the Tanya. Just want to show how meduik is, and this is the way it was understood. In the Likutei Levi Yitzchak, from the Bible Shabbos father, it brings down, kishemizboinen umamik me'oid. These three lashonis that the Rambam uses to be misamik, right, in order to contemplate. Kishemizboinen umamik me'oid, that this corresponds to the three things that the Rambam said. Because the Rambam says, mamalik kol almin. The Rambam said, soyviv kol almin. Not only Kodesh Baruch Hu fills the world, but also he soyviv kol almin, he encompasses everything. And also the Rambam said, the Tanya said, kulei kamei kolei choshev. Everything in this world, next to Kodesh Baruch Hu, is like naught. It's like nothing. That's what it means. Kishim is boine, mamik, right? And ma'oid. Ma'oid means to realize how far. How far Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence dominates that ma'oid is the third thing. That anything that's even next to him in this world is kolei choshev, like nothing. So these three lishayinis that the Tanya uses, Kishim Zbayin and Mamik Moed, is connected the three inyonim that he pointed out in being Mamik, in being Mizbayin and Gedulas Hashem. The Tanya pointed out, he said tremendous adjectives when he spoke about Ahavas Hashem. You notice that he used the Loshonis of Chashika, which is passion. He uses Chafitza, right, desire, which is a longing. V'nefesh HaKeikon, you have this yearning. So it's also brought down one of the very, very well-known Chassidim of the Baal Tanya, was Reb Hillel of Parich. Hillel of Parich, so he said once, he said it's possible, because being that the Tanya tells us that the Tzemoyin, that this thirst comes from the Yisoid HaEsh, right? It comes from the Yisoid HaEsh. And we know that Esh is known in Kabbalah as Arba Gavonim, has four colors. In Esh, there's four colors. Even if you look at Esh, even on the top, you see it looks a little bit of yellow, a little bit of red. You see different colors when you look into fire. And Esh is known of the Kabbalah that it has four Gavonim, it has four colors. So he pointed out, Rabbi Hillel Paritcher, so he pointed out that this is Yitochen, that the Tanya uses these four different types of adjectives. He uses Chashika, Chafitza, Chukka, V'nefesh HaKeikah, because being that it comes from the element of Esh, and Esh itself, right, contains within itself four Gavonim, four different colors. Just for definition, the way it's understood to mean, when you talk about Chashika, what does Chashika mean? Talk about Cheshik. Cheshik in its generic form means, when you say that somebody has Cheshik, you have passion, it means that you are so consumed that you have no cheshik for anything else. That's what cheshik means. Cheshik means that all of your machshavas are directed on this item. That's what cheshik means. Ahavas Hashem has to be with the oifim of cheshika. Cheshika means that all of your machshavas are on this. If you're allowing yourself to share something else in the same vein, then you don't have really cheshik. Not cheshik. It does not deserve the terminology of cheshik. Cheshik means where it is completely, where the cheshik is not machashav of anything else. That's the idea of cheshik. Chafitza, as we say, means like desire. So it's explained because there's two types of ritzoinis a person can have. There's a rotzen chitzoini and then there's a rotzen pnimi. Rotzen chitzoini means koifenoisa shayom eroitzani. So suddenly, on a simple level, it means a person really doesn't want to do it, but you're forcing him to do it. Okay, so I want to do it. Not that I really want to do it. I want to do it because I'm being forced to do it. So the end result is eroitzani, echvil. But that's a rotzen chitzoini, it's not a rotzen pnimi. Then you have a situation which is a rotzen pnimi, which means that really that everything that he does, he really has a desire for it, a natural desire, and really enjoys it. Because be'emes, this is what he really wants. That's be'emes' rotzen. That's what chafitza means. Chafitza means that this is be'emes' rotzen apnimi. The ahavas Hashem that a person has is not because of any artificial reason. But be'emes, this is his rotzen apnimi. That's what chafitza means. Something that he really wants. Again, it's brought down in the Mefarsha Tanya. The Tanya, again, if you remember, he brought down three psukim. The three psukim, as you saw, was nichsefa v'gam kol sanafshi, right? Kloisa nefesh. And the Ahavas Hashem can go up to the point of kloisa nefesh, where the soul can expire. So he uses nichsefa v'gam kol sanafshi, tzoma nafshi l'likim, and then tzoma l'chol nafshi. So again, the Mefarsha Tanya suggests that maybe, again, this is referring to the three ideas of the hizbeininess in Gadlus Hashem. He said, memalo kol almen, right? Notice when he says, "Nichsufa v'gam kol sanafshi lechatzro is beis Hashem." That's from within. Lechatzro is beis Hashem. That's referring to the idea of the hisbainus of memalei kol almin. Kodesh Baruch Hu fills the world. That's lechatzro is beis Hashem. Nichsufa v'gam kol sanafshi lechatzro is beis Hashem. Tzoma nafshi lelikim. That goes on soiviv kol almin. And tzoma l'chol nafshi basically goes, which is on a higher level already, above soiviv kol almin. But rather, he's totally consumed completely. He becomes bottle. Like he says, whoever stands in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu is kileis choshev, like nothing. Tzomel chonafshi means my soul totally is connected with you. It means I don't have my own identity other being connected to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Tanya pointed out that if you be mizbainen, he says, Begdulas Hashem is going to bring you, as he just said the Loshon, Upachad Hashem beliboy. Because before he said, b'moichoy. But ultimately, it brings a person to Pachad Hashem Beliboy, not only in the Seichel, but Pachad, he's going to feel, he's going to be margish, he's going to experience it mamish belief. The Friedrich told the San Rebbe, writes in the Sefer Divrei Emunah, that he heard from Rabbi Yisrael Yitzchak Reisman, who was one of the Dayanim Chavrei Abedin Tzedek of the Eid Achredis in Yerushalayim. Yitzchak Reisman said that he heard from his Rebbe, the Baal Teres Chesed, with the Lublin Rav, Reb Shneur Zalman from Lublin. And the Teres Chesed said that he heard it from the Tzemach Tzedek, who heard it from Reb Dov Ber, and Reb Ber heard it from his father, the Baal HaTanya. So this is a direct Kabbalah and the Messiah going back. He said, the Tolsan Rebbe said he heard it from Yisrael Yitzchak Reisman. He heard it from his Rebbe, he said, the Baal Peretz Chesed, who heard it from the Tzemach Tzedek, who heard it from Rav Doiver, who heard it from his father, the Tanya. The Tanya said that when the Rebbe Reb Zisha, and you know there was a very close relationship between the Tanya and Rebbe Reb Zisha, as we learned when we started this year of Tanya, we learned the Askom of the Rebbe Reb Zisha, that the Baal Tanya took very few Askomas, and one of the very few that he took was from the Rebbe Reb Zisha. Tremendous, tremendous respect for the godless and the tzitzkis and the avodas Hashem of the Rebbe Reb Zisha, as we already spoke many times. He said when the Rebbe Zisha, he said, once went out during the night and looked up to the stars and he said the Pasuk in Tehillim, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Ches, he saw the stars and he said, Ki era shomecho, masa etzboisecho, yureach v'choychove masha koinanto. Stand outside and sees the universe and sees the stars, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's world and creation. And he says, Mo enosh kisiskareno, so what is man? That's kedai even to mention man. What is man compared to all of this? He began to tremble with such a trembling, Rebbe Reb Zisha, of pachad, of yiras Hashem, said the Baal HaTanya, that for three meisleis, for three continuous days, he had a shilshul shaldam. He really had a certain type of a blood stomach disorder. 3 days, poshut, because of the awe and pachad Hashem. And Rav Dever concluded, that when the Tanya told over that story about Rebbe Reb Zisha, hater alayna vegechalish, he chalished himself. It's just about thinking about the tremendous, tremendous madrege that a person is shaykh to attain. You talk about Yiras Hashem. You notice the way the Tanya follows. He mentions to Pachad Hashem b'liboy, and then he says, Vishuv yislahev liboy bahava azo. In other words, he starts first with Yira. The person is koyin akoyin in the mid of Yira. And then he becomes nislahev, right? He becomes ignited, a tremendous spark, right, of ahavas Hashem. But it's mashma that the first Seder in the order of things tak is Yira, and then he reaches the Madrega of Ahava. So then it said in the name of the Rebbe Rebbeir, can you do again the Magid? So the Magid said that the truth is Yira is something that a person attains and achieves through Bechira. Bechira, the person has to make that choice. As the Pasuk says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach, right? What is that which a Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, asks from you? Now you have a Bechira, and I'm asking you to do it. What does the Pasuk say? Kim liyira. However, said the Magid, said that Ava is something, he says, which you yourself really cannot alone achieve. He says, why? Because Ahava, to love something, you need the partner, the other person who is being loved. Now, if he doesn't love you back, right, then you can't really love him, because Kamayim, Ponim Uponim. Saying also, Ahava is a two-way street. So what happens is, he says like this, said the Rebbe Rebbeir, when you acquire Yiras Hashem, which that is your Bechira, your choice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, Mamela, this is going to bring naturally, what's going to follow after Yira, Ahava is going to follow naturally. And he said a tremendous pshat. Ugas HaBoisim brings it also, in the Tehillim of Ugas HaBoisim. In Tehillim Nunhei. So he says it like this, the Magid said, Darko Shilish, Lachzer, Acher Isha. Ish is Ahava. Last week also we mentioned Ben and Bas. Mentioned the Chagdom of the Shef Shmatis. Even the Shef Shmatis brings the Zohar. Ben, right? Ben, he said, is Torah there. He says, Bas, he says, is Yira. Remember what the Shef Shmatis teaches? The Zohar says, Ben is Torah. And Bas is Yira. Bas Tchila Semenyof Elabonim. If you have your Shemaim, then comes Torah. That your Shemaim can be Zohar. Bas Tchila. You have Yira. Right? Then Semenyof Elabonim, then you be Zohar to Torah. That's the Shef Shmatis, he said. So, Ish is Ahava, and Isha is Yira. Darka shel Ish, Lachzer Acher Isha. After Isha, after Yira, then comes the mid of Ahava. Darka shel Ish, Lachzer Acher Isha. That after Isha, after Yira, then what follows after that? After that comes Ahava. And shall be medayik in the Loshon of the Tanya, Vishuv Yislahev Liboy Ba'ava Azo. That after you acquire the mid of Yira, right, that will bring a tremendous Islahavas in your heart to the mid of that middah of Ahava Azo. Interesting thing is, he talks about Chashika, about Cheshik, he talks about Chafitzo, he talks about Chuka. The Meir Galoshin, the Medrash says, as we say, Ahava is a two-way street, we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. So the Medrash says, Begimel Lishoyin, as the Medrash says, Shalchiba, Chova of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yisrael. Very fascinating. There's three Lishoyin as we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. Bedvika, Dovuk, to be connected. It says, tshuka, longing, v'chafitza, desire. And the Medrash brings a pasuk for each and every one, and then the Medrash is mamshich and says something, a very, very unbelievable thing. The Medrash says that these three lishonos, right, that we saw dvika, and we say chashuka and chafitza, we find this in the parasha of Arosha. We find this in the parasha of Arosha where? By the Maisa Dina and Shechem. Unbelievable thing. What does it say by Shechem? Let me refer you. Vatidbak nafshoi bedina. Right? That's dvika. Vatidbak nafshoi bedina. That's dvika. And then it says, Shechem beni choshko nafshoi bebitchem. That's chashika. And then it says, ki chofatz bebas yakoy. That's chafitza. The pashtus is apel de gezach. Chazal, right, stooped to such lowly sources to depict lahavdul, the gevaldige lofty relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yisrael, the gimel shoyne shel chiba. Chazal bring the rayas from the Pesuot HaRosha, what he did, this Maisa Nevola, the Potayor calls it a Maisa Nevola, the Maisa Shechem and Dina, to find it, that sources that you're going to find these types of lishoynes. So Rambam Gdoshim point out, as you know very well, the Archaim HaKadosh is very marach in this, the Rizal, that in Shechem was hidden a Nitzitz HaKadosh. In Shechem was hidden a spark of Kedusha, which was the Neshama, a Nitzitz of the Neshama of the Tamakai of Chanina ben Trajan. In Shechem was trapped, as we said. There's Nitzitz of Kedusha, there's parts of Kedusha that are trapped all over the place. That's what took place. We spoke about it many, many weeks ago by Shviras HaKelim. The Shviras HaKelim happened is when the Kelim were not able to receive the tremendous, tremendous Hashpoah of Eirein Sof. The Eirein Sof of Kodesh Baruch Hu overwhelmed the Kelim broke, so sparks of Kedusha scattered all over the place, and they became trapped even in Mekoymes Atumah. The Avodah is to be able to redeem those sparks, to mitzvahs, masim toiv, making a bracha, giving tzedakah, doing all the right things, so we redeem these sparks in Tzitz of Kedusha. A Nitzitz HaKadosh of the Tana Reb Chanina ben Trajan, says Rachaim HaKadosh, was trapped in Shechem. And there's a remes. The Pesuk is V'oretz. It says Rachvas Yodayim. Remember there? Rachvas is Rosh HaTevis. Reb Chanina ben Trajan. Which means there was a Nitzitz. Now that Nitzitz HaKadosh has a longing and a yearning. He just wants to get out of there. But it's trapped. When does it become the Seir? When does it start to get excited? When it sees another source of Kedusha next to it. When Dina approach Shechem, and Shechem sees Dina, and he sees that there is a Guf Kodesh over here, right? A Bas Yaakov. Have an idea what it means to be a Bas Yaakov? So the Nitzitz HaKodesh became the Seir. And it had this tremendous, tremendous desire to connect, to be Mishaber itself with the Kedusha. Therefore, the Lashon says, what kind of Lashonis, what type of desires? So the Pasuk says, what happened was, is Dvika. He had Chashika. And you had, in fact, you had Chafitza. These are all Lashonis that existed due to the Nitzitz HaKadosh, right? Causing this internal turmoil. Because with the longing and its tremendous willingness just to get out and redeem itself and to be connected with Kedusha. To be connected with Kedusha. What happened with that Zivik Taki? What came out, Taki? Is he saw? Osnas came out, who married Yosef. From there came out the Neshama Nishmas Mashiach ben Yosef, right? So this Nitzitz had an aliyah. This Nitzitz had tremendous aliyah that Mashiach ben Yosef came out of this. So Amelot, what do you see? So you see that even by a Rosh HaGomer, it's shaykh to have a Nitzitz HaKadosh. Right? Even by a Rosh HaGomer, it's shaykh to have a Nitzitz HaKadosh. Says the Medrash, Talachas Kama Vekama, if even a Rosh HaGomer has a Nitzitz HaKadosh, Begimel Lishoynes Shal Chiba, the same three Lishoynes HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each and every Yid, because no matter how low a Yid is, at least a Nitzitz HaKadosh has. He has much more than that. And actually, as the Tanya said, that every Yid, as we learned in the beginning of the previous Perek, the Tanya at the beginning of Perek Beis, every Yid has an Ishoma Chelik Al-Kaim Imal. There's much more, he says, than a Nitzitz HaKadosh. And if we see the tremendous Lishoynes that a Nitzitz HaKadosh, only a Nitzitz HaKadosh has to be attracted to Kedusha, we see Devuka, we see Chashuka, we see Chafitza, Tavada Navada, this is Shaykh between HaKadosh Baruch Hu Take and the Ben Yisrael. We had no opportunity to go to the sheet, but I ask everybody, please save the sheet for next week, because it's important that we go through it really properly. And we'll continue by the Shem Nikam.